Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am Doug Plagans. He is Randy Moeller. This is the 2022 NHL Draft. We kick off hour number two. Back in hour number one, the Panthers made a couple of selections. Two defensemen at pick number 93, Marek Alscher. At pick number 125 of the fourth round, Ludvig Jonsson. Big thanks, Panthers president, CEO Matt Caldwell, for stopping by back in hour number one as well. We were recapping some of the trades that have been made in this NHL draft over the 2 days so far, and we didn't quite get through the whole list, so we're going to continue diving through that in a moment. Later on in this hour, we've got Billy Lindsay stopping by the program, we believe, unless there's a travel complication, but I think we're going to have him on the ground coming up later on in the hour.
And we'll I had a chance to chat with him. Travel complication coming down to the studio from up north.
I-95 wasn't kind to you, was it?
No. I was describing it as a snail's crawl.
And I'm sure there are some people tuned in right now involved in that very same snail's crawl. Yeah. On I-95 right now. I took 75 to the Gratney Parkway and cut across and zigged and zagged and got my way here.
But you're smarter than the average bear, Doug.
Down here to El Portal, the Citadel. That's where we are at our 560 WQAM studios. Doug Plagans, Randy Moeller, big shout out to our man Dan Day behind the glass. Great work as always. Dan Day, as I like to say, Randy, been saying this for a long time and I'll beat this one to death. Every day is Dan Day. Dan Day over on the other side of the glass, everybody. He just waved. I know you're tuned in on the radio, but he waved to you. He's waving.
And to be able to work with Jonathan Zaslow is...
The lead-in.
You need a medal and a chest to pin it on to work with that character.
And you've been working with him for a long time.
Yes.
You guys go way back, as they say.
Way back, yeah.
Just happy to have you guys here and work with you. Always a great time.
That was the voice of the great Dan Day. You all know that here on 560 WQAM from the other side of the glass. Just chiming in. Panthers fans, be sure to join the 93 Society. Stay up to date. All things Panthers. Be the first to know about ticket pre-sales, events, and much more. Sign up now, floridapanthers.com/newsletter. And again, the schedule's out at floridapanthers.com.
Love it.
Time to go through that schedule. Start picking out the dates, folks, when you want to go to the games. As I like to say, if you want to go to one game or all the games, by yourself or with all your friends, we can sort out something that works for you. FloridaPanthers.com, 954-835-PUCK. Give the friendly folks a call. Come out to the Select a Seat event coming up on Wednesday at FLA Live Arena Wednesday evening. Just walk in. Walk in. You'll know which seats are available. You can pick one out. Find the perfect one for you, your friends, your family, whoever's going to come to the games with you. And you can pick out the seat that's going to be yours for the whole upcoming season. So lots of excitement going on in and around the Florida Panthers and in and around the National Hockey League, Randy. Continuing what we were talking about there before the break, going through some of the trades. The Canadians were busy. The Blackhawks were busy, obviously trying to accomplish different things. The Blackhawks made another move. They acquired a first-round pick in Peter Mrazek, a veteran goaltender from the Toronto Maple Leafs, for a second-round pick. Now, we can all look at this. We know exactly what this was. This was Toronto saying, we need to shed the salary of Peter Mrazek. Here, we'll give you a first-round pick if you take him off the books for us. Chicago, they need somebody to be a goalie there next year. Peter Mrazek can go in. He can play a lot of games. He's going to be fine.
Hopefully he's healthy.
And if he's healthy, they're not going to be competing for playoff spots and Stanley Cups and things like that. But even if you're not going to be competing for a cup, you still need somebody to go out there and stand in the blue paint and get between the pipes every night. It might not be the most fun job, but Peter Mrazek looks like he's going to be the guy to do it.
And that is a classic trade, and a lot of the trades, folks, that are happening in the NHL have to do with salary cap implications.
Yep.
And there's teams that have lots of salary cap room to take on these contracts, and they have the position, as they like to say, the advantage. And then you've got teams that are in cap hell, and they have to do something. That, and that's the reason why the Toronto Maple Leafs made that move. And they had to give up a first-round draft pick for to take a player.
To get a guy off the books. That was the whole point of that. And the Caps staying flat this year. That's another wrinkle in the whole
thing.
And that
leads me to, you know, another opinion here in that you've got to be very careful. And hats off to all these general managers and the hockey operations for all the teams. It's very, very difficult. But when you start giving out multi-year contracts to secondary players on your team, depth players or
guys who aren't franchise cornerstones.
Yeah, and you start giving money and term to these players, not many of those deals end up on the right side of the coin. You find yourself, whether it takes a year or 2 years, that you're in a little bit of a pickle and that. So, but some of them have to be done, but oh boy, it is buyer beware, and that's the reason why that deal went down.
Now, last night you had Edmonton trading Zach Cassian, veteran forward, and a first-round pick to
There's
the Arizona Coyotes. There's a prime example of what you were just talking about. For a second in 2025, a third in 2024, and the first-rounder last night. So that was Edmonton just saying, hey, we got to get out from under this Zach Cassian deal because he's been around for a long time. He's had a nice career, but he's on the downswing. He's slowing down a bit, and they needed to clear up some money because Edmonton's got things they need to accomplish, mainly between the pipes, and that could cost them more than it initially was initially planned by
Ken Holland. Too much money, too much term for a veteran that is probably their 9th, 10th, 11th forward.
Yep.
And there's another perfect example why Edmonton had that. They're one of the teams that are up against a salary cap. And as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, they need a goaltender. They not only need one, they need two.
And in mentioning goaltending, Steve Yzerman, we talk about a lot of these GMs that always seem to be
ahead of the
seeing
curve.
The game a step ahead. Bill Zito is one of those guys. Julien Brisebois is one of those guys. Joe Sakic's become one of those guys. Steve Yzerman's become one of those guys going back to his time in Tampa. We knew that there was going to be a bit of a sweepstakes as far as goaltending was concerned in this whole offseason carousel, if you will. By the way, pick number 140, the Sharks are on the clock. The Panthers' next selection here in the fifth round coming up, pick number 157. So we'll be looking out for that for you. Steve Yzerman always seems to be a little bit of a step ahead of the market. And he made a deal to acquire the rights to Blues goaltender Ville Husso. The Blues are locked into Jordan Binnington long-term. They weren't going to be able to commit to Ville Husso long-term either. So Steve Yzerman traded a third to the Blues, a third-round pick this year for the negotiating rights to Ville Husso, and they signed him. They locked him up for 3 years at, I believe, 4.75 was the number. So Steve Yzerman goes out, gets the goaltender. He's going to be the stopgap, the guy to play with alongside Alex Nedeljkovic for a bit here and keep the seat warm for Sebastian Kosa, who they took in the first round last year.
Correct.
And Steve Yzerman's the guy that drafted Andrei Vasilevsky for Tampa Bay a number of years ago in round one, so he has a bit of a track record there as far as identifying first-round goalie talent. So the Red Wings went out and got their goalie, and that's going to set the market into a bit of a frenzy with Jack Campbell and Darcy Kemper. I'm sure they can lob a phone call off to Steve Yzerman for that one, because that Husso deal probably made Campbell and Kemper a little bit more money in term on the open market. And then the next deal involved a goaltender as well. The Devils acquired Vitek Vanacek in a second-round pick from Washington for a second and a third in this draft. We saw Vitek Vanacek for Washington in that playoff series this year. And there's some uncertainties there. The Panthers chased him out of the series. He was replaced by Ilya Samsonov. He was far from a sure thing for the Washington Capitals this year. Maybe New Jersey hoping he becomes a late bloomer. He becomes part of that logjam there with Mackenzie Blackwood in New Jersey.
And there's questions about his health, and that they're hoping that he'll be 100%. But fascinating the goaltending moves that have happened so far.
Here's another one. The Philadelphia Flyers acquired veteran defenseman and veteran well-traveled defenseman at this point, Tony DeAngelo, who is a very talented hockey player, but He was traded to Philadelphia for a second, third, and a fourth round pick that went to the Carolina Hurricanes. So big deals there across the board. And then San Jose just acquiring Luke Cunningham from Nashville for John Leonard and a third round selection. And it looks like we're going to be running down our fourth round selection, Ludvig Johnsson, who's going to be stopping by here, I believe, at some point. So why don't we take our pause, and then we will come back, and we hope to be running down the Panthers' fourth-round draft pick, Ludvig Johnsson. That's going to be coming up here shortly, we believe, as we continue our ongoing coverage of the... Oh, it looks like we're going to stand by. I believe he's going to be calling in here right now. So we are going to hang on the line, and we will be joined by the newest Panthers draft choice, Ludvig Johnsson, who's going to be coming up here shortly, Randy.
Oh, I'm excited about this. Yeah, usually we do during our draft shows. We get a couple of these draft picks and are able to talk to these young prospects and get an idea, maybe find out a little bit more about them, both on the ice and off the ice. So
we hope to have him coming up here shortly. I believe we're told he's going to be calling in here on our draft coverage. To recap, the Panthers, they selected two defensemen so far today. Pick number 93, Marek Ulscher from the Portland Winterhawks in the Western Hockey League. And we also have the Panthers selecting in the fourth round at pick number 125, Swedish defenseman Ludvig Johnsson. And I believe we have him on the line with us right now. The Panthers' fourth round draft choice, defenseman Ludvig Johnsson out of Sweden. Well, Ludvig, welcome into the show. Doug Plagans here along with Randy Moeller. Panthers broadcasters here with you. We want to say congratulations on being selected here in the 2022 NHL Draft. How does it feel?
First of all, thank you, guys. It feels, of course, unbelievable. I'm very honored and grateful to be picked by the Florida Panthers.
Ludvig, tell us a little bit about what is your knowledge about the Florida Panthers that finished first overall in the NHL in the regular season, and maybe some of the players that maybe you're familiar with and that as you drafted by this team?
Yeah, of course. I've seen them much this year. I know like players like Huberto, Aaron Ekblad and Gustav Forsling and other players, so they're a great team.
And you mentioned Gus Forsling there, and a guy who's really turned into a heck of a hockey player, and he's a Swedish defenseman as well. Have you enjoyed watching his game? And I guess if you look at your game, what kind of scouting report would you give for yourself?
Yeah, of course I've seen him. I think I'm a kind of similar player to him, so of course I've seen him a lot, and I would describe myself as a offensively two-way defenseman with great skating ability and like to be seen and heard on the ice. So I like to have much puck and moving the game forward.
And Ludvig, did you have any idea that the Panthers could have been a team that was interested? What was your thought process going into today?
I've a couple of meetings with the Florida Panthers, and I was on their like mini combine back in Sweden. So I have a little thoughts that I could be picked by them, but. When you're here, it's like a lottery, so you don't have time to think that much.
And so, why don't you tell us and our fans that are listening, what is your schedule, short term and long term, now that you've been picked by the Florida Panthers?
Next week, this weekend, I think I'm going over to the Florida, have dev camp next week, and then just see what happens. Maybe 1 year back in Sweden, and then if I'm ready, I move over.
Have you spent much time in North America, or will this be your first time out here?
This is my second time here in North America, and my second time in Florida. So It's going to be fun.
The weather's going to be warm for you when you get down here. Ludwig, off the ice, we like to learn a little bit more about everybody, but off the ice, away from hockey, what are some of the things, some of your other interests outside of hockey? Have you played any other sports, anything like that?
Yeah, I'm a kind of like sporty guy, so I enjoying playing golf and tennis and like other stuff, so I like being outside, so Florida is perfect.
And the conversation that you had, tell us about that conversation after you were drafted with the Florida Panthers.
I just went down to their table and just chit-chat with everyone, and like they welcomed me, and now like. Five minutes later, I'm here.
Ludwig, last year, we always talk about this with a lot of the guys that come over from playing in Europe. As a 17-year-old last year, you played 47 games in the top league in Sweden, and you were playing against, you know, guys in their 20s and 30s. How much did that help you as a player, help you grow, help you develop?
Of course, it helped me a lot, especially last year when we kind of like struggled in the league. You have to take like bigger responsibility and like try to play better ice hockey. So that's where I'm learned from last year, and like just keep on moving and keep on working hard.
Well, Ludwig, we want to congratulate you for being drafted by the Florida Panthers. Good luck, and we will meet you and say hello to you next week at the Panthers development camp that's coming up very quickly in the next few days. And good luck with your training, and enjoy your time when you come over here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ludwig, and yeah, we'll see you coming up here soon. Thanks again for your time.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Ludvig Jonsson, the Panthers' fourth-round draft choice, kind enough to take some time out for a busy day and a life-changing day for all these draft choices that are going off the board up there in Montreal today. But right there, he just realized a dream. Drafted by a National Hockey League team, and the Panthers called his name in the fourth round.
And no doubt, Doug, where you asked that question and the response as well, that the experience that Jonsson had playing against men, players that are older than him, and get a taste of what it's going to take to be playing the best league in the NHL, and that experience is going to help him immensely.
Yeah, I'm looking at it as a team roster from last year. He was 17 years old, and there were a number of teenagers that got a cup of coffee on the team that he played for last year. Södertälje SK in Sweden, I believe would be the pronunciation, top league in Sweden. But 17 years old, he played, he was the youngest guy to play that many games for his team last year. And you go down the list, he had teammates who were 25, 27, 33, 36, 28 years old. So, as you put it there, Randy, he was playing against and with adult men last year in the top league in Sweden as a 17-year-old.
When I was 17, I was stealing cars and cheating on math tests. Just kidding. No, but that's
just kidding about the math test part, right?
Yeah,
the auto theft part was.
Yeah. Wow. those charges got dismissed pretty quickly. But that is great experience for him. And Anton Lundell, same thing. Played against grown men, and how it helped him adapt very quickly to the North American NHL style. So congratulations to him. Congratulations to the Florida Panthers. And we'll get a peek of him at the Panthers development camp coming up.
Yeah, we'll see him coming up this week. Coming up in just a few moments, the Panthers on the clock in the fifth round at number 157. Right now, we've got Pittsburgh set to select at number 150. So we're going to take a brief pause. We'll come back and we'll have more coming your way. Doug Plagans, Randy Moeller with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. This is our ongoing coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Florida Panthers NHL draft coverage continues on the home of the Panthers. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app.
We're picking shortly. Welcome back. Our ongoing coverage of the 2022 NHL draft. Panthers making their selection right now. In the fifth round, pick number 157, a left winger, Sandis Vilmanis, selected by the Panthers. Some information on him coming up here in just a moment. Big thanks to the Panthers' fourth-round draft choice, Ludvig Jonsson, defenseman out of Sweden, stopped by last segment. Randy wanted to mention, too, at pick number 150, the Pittsburgh Penguins selected Zam Plant, son of one of your former teammates, Derek Plant, in Buffalo. You guys played a season together. His son's been selected in
every
the fourth
year,
round.
Every year, somebody's son comes up and that I played with their father or whatever. It's the bloodlines are littered with...
Maybe more in hockey than any sport.
I think so. I really do think so. The players get an opportunity to play because their fathers were in the NHL at a very high level and get the great opportunities, and they make the most of it.
So the Panthers selecting Sandis Vilmanis, digging for some further information to give you what we know about...
I don't think he's from Red Deer.
Probably not. He is from, let's see here, played over in Sweden. Last year, the Swedish Junior League, 32 points in 40 games, including 18 goals, a 6'1", 192-pound left winger. So I'll tell you what, Randy, that's a big 18-year-old.
Yep.
6'1", 192, 18-year-old, that's a sizable 18-year-old. And it's also, this draft coverage has worked everybody into a frenzy because we had Mark Hochman and Alex Solana playing hockey outside the studio a moment ago, and I think that's recipe for disaster. Right now, he's out there taking pictures of us in the studio, or maybe doing an Instagram Live. He likes to do those kind of things, Instagram story.
That game would be over very quickly if I stepped out of the studio and grabbed one of those sticks. That would be it. It'd be a 2-5 game and possible suspension.
Matt, it would be reviewed by the league. There'd be a hearing.
Oh, there'd be a hearing right away.
There'd be a hearing. By the way, Hochman and Crowder coming up after our draft coverage here. We're with you for another half an hour or so. But, Randy, we talked about it earlier. When you're drafting players in the NHL, you're drafting 18-year-olds. A lot can happen between 18 and 21, 22. But a left winger out of Sweden who's 6'1", 192 as an 18-year-old, that's a big 18-year-old who figures to play even bigger when he gets to the National Hockey League.
Well, and where the Panthers are picking right now and where the NHL is picking, what they call this is called a draft plus four. So you draft a player, and hopefully in 4 years that player can be impactful and instrumental in the success of the big club at the National Hockey League. So that's how far they look ahead. And as I mentioned, we mentioned it earlier in the show, it's all about drafting and then player development.
Yep.
And then opportunity.
Yep. You draft and you're looking to develop from there. In the National Hockey League draft, you're not drafting to, especially not in these mid to late rounds, you're not drafting to fill immediate needs with your National Hockey League
team.
And
the Panthers are in great position. They can afford to be very, very patient and allow these players, some develop a little bit quicker than others, and you hope to find a Mackenzie Weegar in the diamond in the rough. And when Mackenzie was, seventh round, and they were very patient with him and allowed him to develop at certain levels and then gave him an opportunity. And that's the big critical stage, is what you do with that opportunity. There's so many players over the last 50, 60 years that have only played, as I say, the average age of an NHL hockey player is less than 5 years right now. You've got the Stevie Yzermans and the Ronnie Francis and the Mark Messiers and the Chris Chelios and the Joe Sakics and that play for 20 years. But 80% of NHL players that play at least a game, 80% will play less than 40 games in the NHL. That's how competitive it really is. And so they're looking for a lot of upside and maybe go off the grid a little bit. and pick some of these players and hope that someday they're going to develop. These next 3-4 years will be very critical for where they're at in their hockey career.
And you alluded to it there, Randy, and something that Bill Lindsay and I have talked about quite a bit on the air over the years, and we hope to run him down here at some point here pretty soon. But getting a call up in the National Hockey League and getting a taste of it, that is an incredible feat, and that's one thing. But in some ways, sticking and becoming a regular in the National Hockey League, it's even more difficult than just getting there in the first place. So
less than 10% of drafted players will ever play one game, and less than 5% will play more than 100 games. That's how competitive it really is. And you can say that probably, Doug, with all sports.
Mm-hmm.
Football, baseball. I mean, football, the NFL.
Well, the baseball draft's got 48 rounds.
Yeah, there's 90% of those draft picks or whatever will never even get above AAA. And hockey's the same as well. And that's where the onus is on the scouting and the player development and really showing patience with players and allow them to develop at their own pace.
Yeah, it's getting to the National Hockey League level is tough, to say the least. And every one of these guys getting drafted today, they've all been the best kid on their team at some point, probably all the way through.
Not anymore.
And it gets a little bit harder when you get drafted at the NHL level. So the Panthers have chosen Sandisville Manis in the fifth round, a left winger, a sizable left winger, again, as all drafted players are, 18 years old out of Sweden. Pick number 157. Next up for the Panthers in the sixth round, they've got the 186th and 189th picks. We likely will not still be on. Maybe we'll still be on there. Might be right up at the end of the hour when the Panthers make one or both of those selections. And then their seventh round pick, number 221. Third round, Panthers took a defenseman, Marek Alscher. Ludvig Jonsson, who was kind enough to join us, went in the fourth round at pick number 125. Sandisville Manis, left winger, at the 157th pick in the fifth round. That's what the Panthers have gone with so far in this one. We're going to step aside here in just a moment, and then we'll take you to the end of our draft coverage here in just a little bit. A reminder, folks, we have a Select-A-Seat event coming up on Wednesday at FLA Live Arena. Panthers fans, secure your seats for this upcoming season. Sign up for our Open House Select-A-Seat event that's coming up on the 13th. That's Wednesday. At FloridaPanthers.com is where you can sign up. We'd love to see you there. I know I'm going to be out there. It would be great to see all of you. And, again, you want to come out, pick out your seat for the upcoming season. No better place to do it. There are incentives. If you get out there, you lock up your tickets on Wednesday. You don't want to miss it. So FLA Live Arena, and, hey, just a great chance to come out, check out the arena here in the middle of July. Take a look at FLA Live Arena. Pick out your seats for the upcoming year. FloridaPanthers.com is where to sign up. And a reminder, folks, the schedule's out at FloridaPanthers.com. You can download that, FloridaPanthers.com/schedule. And a reminder, Cats fans, stay on top of all things Panthers. Check out the latest episode of Territory Talk. Jameson Olive and I put out a new episode for you each and every week at FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. You don't want to miss any of that. Folks, we're going to step aside. We'll come back. We are going to try and run down Bill Lindsay. He's traveling today, but he was kind enough to take some time out from his travel day. We believe if he's on the ground, I think we're going to have a chance to get him talk about the season that was, the season coming up. We'll talk a little bit of off-season, maybe rehash some draft memories with Billy Lindsay, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network. We will also recap a lot of what we've seen so far over the 2 days of the NHL draft. Our coverage of flying by, one more segment to go, and then we're going to hand things off to Hockman and Crowder coming up here in just a few moments. Our coverage of the 2022 NHL draft continues straight ahead right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Time for more Florida Panthers NHL draft coverage on the home of the Panthers. AM 560 Sports WQAM. FM 99.9 HD2. And streaming on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Talking draft. Talking Florida Panthers, reflecting back on the season that was, looking ahead to what should be an eventful next season as well. About 15 minutes to go here in our annual draft coverage. Then we hand things off here to Hockman and Crowder Lots of fun to be had there, without a doubt, coming up after us. But pick number 172 right now, Sharks on the clock. The Panthers will pick next at 186 and 189. Two picks here in the sixth round. That's where we are now. The Panthers have made three selections today at number 93, defenseman Merrick Ulscher at 125. Ludvig Janssen, defenseman at that fourth round selection. And then in the fifth round, pick number 157, Sandis Vilmanis, a left winger chosen by the Panthers. So that's the three selections so far for the Panthers in this draft. Doug Plagans, Randy Moeller here with you again. Final segment underway. And we've got our longtime friend, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, an original Panther, my friend and yours, Billy Lindsay, joining us here on the show. Billy, how are you this afternoon?
Doing good, guys. Everything. Enjoying the proceedings so far? Been a fair amount of action going around the NHL anyway. It's been busy.
Oh, Billy, I know you were up working the NHL network and that. What is going on with the goaltending carousel that we have witnessed here with trades and what have you? And what I'll end it with, it's just, I just think it is so hilarious and intriguing that two of the so-called cup contenders in the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers sitting today and don't have a goaltender.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. Everyone wants a goaltender, and there's goaltenders out there. And you're right, the cup contenders is Edmonton, Toronto. They haven't seemed to have a solution in net. Toronto at this point has no one. Mrazek's gone. He's been traded away to greener pastures, hopefully for him, and Jack Campbell remains unsigned. So technically the Maple Leafs don't even have a goaltender. And you're seeing, even with the decision now, it seems Cam Talbot with Marc-Andre Fleury signing in Minnesota, that Talbot is, his agent has spoken out and that Talbot's not very happy about the situation in Minnesota. Maybe Cam Talbot becomes a viable option for one of those teams. Goaltending's in an important position everyone's looking to address. And it's funny because you look at the draft and what kind of sticks out is goaltending is so important to teams. But goaltender's hardly ever taken in the first round. This year, the first goaltender off the boards is late in the draft again. So it's interesting to always see how the goaltending plays out in the carousel going around the NHL. But we'll see how it ends up at the end of the day. I believe the teams, Toronto, Edmonton, they're probably still searching and kicking tires, and we'll see where everyone lands when this draft is done.
Yeah, the Red Wings went out and got Ville Husso. We discussed that earlier, and because that move took place when it did, it probably made Jack Campbell and Darcy Kuemper a few extra bucks when it comes time for their contracts to be signed. Billy Lindsay, our guest here on our draft coverage as we cruise along. And in mentioning that, Billy, turning things back to the Florida Panthers, Randy and I spent some time back in hour number one talking about it, but with the Panthers having Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight, who they can turn to, and we've seen teams that have made deep playoff runs like to have and should have two options they can turn to. Goaltending for the Panthers is a position of strength, and for a team that looks to be a cup contender for a number of years here, wouldn't you say that that's a good situation for the Panthers to be in right now? They're set between the pipes.
Yeah, I think it's a must that you have a couple of goaltenders, especially throughout the course of the regular season. And Spencer Knight looks like he has the ability to be a future number one netminder. And Sergei Bobrovsky was able to right the ship last year and have a really good season for the Panthers. And even in the playoffs, Bobrovsky performed well. He was not the reason why the Panthers got eliminated in the second round. It was really a strong performance by him. And you look at the Colorado Avalanche, who won the Stanley Cup, Darcy Kuemper and Pavel Francouz almost split the duties because of injuries and stuff that happened, but both those netminders were relied upon, and they only lost four games throughout their run to winning 16 games to win the Stanley Cup. So to have that position and strength in net is something that's always a valuable addition, and you'll see how Spencer Knight is going to be able to grow into that role. And it's something, if trades become a possibility down the line, you're dealing from a position of strength. So that position to be solidified for the Panthers is always the number one question around the team. And for the Panthers, they love the position they're in with the netminding.
Well, Billy, just to add on that, what is the number one number two storylines for the Florida Panthers before they drop the puck as far as personnel moves need to, want to, before they start on October 13th to start the season?
Well, the contracts of trying to secure, you've talked about Mackenzie Weegar, and is he going to re-sign? There's the possibility that teams are kicking tires on Mackenzie Weegar, so that's a big one out there. And the extension of Jonathan Huberdeau that everyone's waiting on. Huberdeau has 1 year left on that deal, but they saw with Barkov that they want to get that. If there is an extension to be signed, they would rather have that in place sooner than later, probably before the season starts. So those two players, to me, what you want to do with them, if you want Weegar and Huberdeau in the fold, if you want those extensions done, get them done quicker. If something happens and the money doesn't quite fit or something that you want to explore trade and Mackenzie Weegar, that's always a possibility. But those two players seem to be at the forefront for the Panthers and what's going to really shape their future. And you got one player on defense and one player up front that are two valuable assets that you either got to sign them to long-term deals or you're going to have to figure out what you can get back for them.
And, Billy, on that, what are your comments and how did you handle it when you're discussing it over the last day or so with your colleagues and that about the situation in Chicago? Obviously, it's a rebuild, but things are a little uncomfortable there. The trades that they made of two young, very good young forwards, and then the status of Kane and Taves that are going into their last year. Overall, what are your thoughts on what the Chicago Blackhawks, who have been really under the microscope over the last 24, 48 hours?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising to me. I mean, DeBrincat goes and you send him off to Ottawa. He's a pure goal scorer and someone that had really good chemistry with Kane, was in that top six forward role, and Kirby Dach to Montreal. And Kirby Dach he's only 21 years old. A lot of people forget that. A big centerman, talented two-way centerman, and ship those guys off for draft picks and reload. So if you're sitting there and you're Kane and your Taves, do you want to go through a rebuild? You've won three Stanley Cup championships. You're on and near, but it looks like a full. There's no other way to look at Chicago other than it's a full teardown, and we're going to try and rebuild this. But at Kane and Taves in their 30s, are you going to sit there and try and wait 4 or 5 years and wait for these draft picks that they're piling up to come back? So it's the big thing now, the focus really goes to Kane and Taves. If it's a full teardown and rebuild and they say they want out of there, that's their right, and teams are going to be all over that. So it looks like to me it's surprising Chicago that they're going that direction, but that seems where they're headed.
Billy Lindsay, our guest here as we wind down our coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft. And you mentioned a lot of it there, and a lot of discussion for certain reasons has been about the Chicago Blackhawks. But anything, whether it's pertaining to the draft, a transaction, anything other than what the Blackhawks have done maybe that has really captured your attention here over these 2 days, whether it was Shane Wright dropping to number four or the host team at the draft, the Montreal Canadiens, making a lot of news? Anything else that you thought really made some noise? Or Ottawa adding Alex DeBrincat, that was a big thing in referencing the Blackhawks, but from the other perspective, a big trade that was made that certainly impacts the Atlantic Division.
It does. Ottawa's one of those. There's pressure on them because that young core they built together has been there for a while, and they've shown spurts throughout the time that they can be successful. So adding DeBrincat, I feel there's some pressure on Ottawa to be successful, not finish and have all these high draft picks. And they're a team, maybe if you want to look at our division and what's happening, is you take a team like Ottawa, and the Boston's a team that's going to be missing two or three or four players with injuries for the first couple months of the season. So Ottawa is one of those teams that maybe has the ability to step into that position and find themselves in the chase to be in a playoff race in that Atlantic Division. So that's interesting to me in the draft and where you fall. If you look at a player like Shane Wright, he falls down to number four. It doesn't really matter. If you're a good player and you're going to be in the NHL, you look back at the draft and it's wherever you were drafted, it does, if you're good enough, you're going to make the money. That's just the way it is. And to me, Shane Wright going to Seattle, that's a perfect situation because they're a franchise that's just starting off, an expansion franchise. Going in, he got a chance to play immediately. And Montreal went a different direction. But all these kids, even if you get drafted, there's going to be guys in the fourth round, fifth round that are going to be stellar NHL players. The draft, it's just getting drafted is just the start of the journey. If you're good enough, you're going to make it. You're going to belong in the league. If you're a first-round pick, you're going to get a few more opportunities, maybe then if you were drafted later. But Mackenzie Weegar is drafted in the 200s. He's become one of the best defensemen in the NHL. So it's you never know how these young kids are going to play out down the future, and that's what's always intriguing to me to watch throughout the course of this draft. Teams scout these kids and have a pretty good idea of what's going on, but in a lot of ways, in 2-3 years, you're going to see some disappointments in the first rounds, and you're going to see some surprises in the later rounds. And with the Panthers drafting in the later rounds, that's where they have to do their due diligence and hope they hit on some of these kids.
Billy Lindsay, our guest here on our draft coverage. Billy, we're right up against the end of the show here, but I want to thank you very much for taking some time out for us here on our draft show, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Enjoy it. And, yeah, the draft's always – I think Moles is a first-rounder, and I was picked in the 100, so – we both know both ends of the you get both ends of the spectrum with us, but most can tell you the draft is just one small stepping stone to the process.
Yeah, Billy, you overachieved, I underachieved, and we met somewhere in the middle.
Well, the Quebec Nordiques brought you both in, and for that we thank them.
Yeah, it took me 7 years to ruin that that franchise. Thanks, Billy. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much, Billy Lindsay, our longtime friend there, joining us on the program. That about takes us to the end of the show. Quickly to recap, round three, the Panthers selected Marek Alscher, a defenseman. Round four, Ludvig Johnsson, a defenseman. Thanks to him for stopping on the show after he was selected. Great to talk to him right after his dream was achieved there. And Sandis Vilmanis, forward out of, again, from over in Sweden, chosen in the fifth round at pick number 157. Panthers have picks coming up here very shortly, but we're going to have to jump off the air here. Number 186, 189, and then the seventh round at number 221. So that's what's coming up for the Panthers. Big thanks, Panthers President, CEO Matt Caldwell, for stopping by earlier in the show. You heard from Billy Lindsay. Thanks again to him for his time there a moment ago. Thanks to all of our guests from last night as well. Big thanks to Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Another job well done. We thank you very much, Dan. Every day is Dan Day over on the other side of the glass. And we thank you for being on board with us on our draft coverage once again. Randy Moeller, any parting words for all the folks out there?
We'll see you in October and drop the puck. And like I like to say, if I'm not dead by Friday night, I'll be roaring Saturday morning.
Well, we hope you all have a very good Friday night and a good Saturday morning as well. For Randy Moeller, for Dan Day, I'm Doug Plagans. This has been our coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
When I was 17, I was stealing cars and cheating on math tests.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
60 Sports WQAM.
Time for more Florida Panthers NHL draft coverage on the home of the Panthers. AM 560 Sports WQAM. FM 99.9 HD2. And streaming on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, talking draft, talking Florida Panthers, reflecting back on the season that was, looking ahead to what should be an eventful next season as well. About 15 minutes to go here in our annual draft coverage, then we hand things off here to Hockman and Crowder Lots of fun to be had there, without a doubt, coming up after us. But pick number 172 right now, Sharks on the clock. The Panthers will pick next at 186 and 189. Two picks here in the sixth round. That's where we are now. The Panthers have made three selections today. At number 93, defenseman Merrick Ulscher at 125. Ludvig Jonsson, defenseman at that fourth round selection. And then in the fifth round, pick number 157, Sandis Vilmanis, a left winger chosen by the Panthers. So that's the three selections so far for the Panthers in this draft. Doug Plagans, Randy Moeller here with you again. Final segment underway. And we've got our longtime friend, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, an original Panther, my friend and yours, Billy Lindsay, joining us here on the show. Billy, how are you this afternoon?
Doing good, guys. Everything. Enjoying the proceedings so far? It's been a fair amount of action going around the NHL anyway. It's been busy.
Oh, Billy, we got it. I know you're up working the NHL Network and that. What is going on with the goaltending carousel that we have witnessed here with trades and what have you? And what I'll end it with, it's just, I just think it is so hilarious and intriguing that two of the so-called cup contenders in the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers sitting today and don't have a goaltender.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. Everyone wants a goaltender, and there's goaltenders out there. And you're right, the cup contenders is Edmonton, Toronto. They haven't seemed to have a solution in net. Toronto at this point has no one. Mrazek's gone. He's been traded away to greener pastures, hopefully for him. And Jack Campbell remains unsigned. So technically, the Maple Leafs don't even have a goaltender. You're seeing, even with the decision now, it seems Cam Talbot with Marc-Andre Fleury signing in Minnesota, that Talbot is, his agent has spoken out, and Talbot's not very happy about the situation in Minnesota. Maybe Cam Talbot becomes a viable option for one of those teams. Goaltending's in an important position everyone's looking to address. And it's funny because you look at the draft, and what kind of sticks out is goaltending is so important to teams. But goaltenders hardly ever taken in the first round. This year, the first goaltender off the boards is late in the draft again. So it's interesting to always see how the goaltending plays out in the carousel going around the NHL. But we'll see how it ends up at the end of the day. I believe the teams, Toronto, Edmonton, they're probably still searching and kicking tires, and we'll see where everyone lands when this draft is done.
Yeah, the Red Wings went out and got Ville Husso. We discussed that earlier, and because that move took place when it did, it probably made Jack Campbell and Darcy Kuemper a few extra bucks when it comes time for their contracts to be signed. Billy Lindsay, our guest here on our draft coverage as we cruise along. And in mentioning that, Billy, turning things back to the Florida Panthers, Randy and I spent some time back in hour number one talking about it, but with the Panthers having Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight, who they can turn to, and we've seen teams that have made deep playoff runs like to have and should have two options they can turn to. Goaltending for the Panthers is a position of strength, and for a team that looks to be a cup contender for a number of years here, wouldn't you say that that's a good situation for the Panthers to be in right now? They're set between the pipes.
Yeah, I think it's a must that you have a couple of goaltenders, especially throughout the course of the regular season. And Spencer Knight looks like he has the ability to be a future number one netminder. Sergei Bobrovsky was able to right the ship last year and have a really good season for the Panthers. And even in the playoffs, Bobrovsky performed well. He was not the reason why the Panthers got eliminated in the second round. It was really a strong performance by him. And you look at the Colorado Avalanche, who won the Stanley Cup, Darcy Kuemper and Pavel Francouz almost split the duties because of injuries and stuff that happened, but both those netminders were relied upon, and they only lost four games throughout their run to winning 16 games to win the Stanley Cup. So to have that position and strength in net is something that's always a valuable addition, and you'll see how Spencer Knight is going to be able to grow into that role. And it's something, if trades become a possibility down the line, you're dealing from a position of strength. So that position to be solidified for the Panthers is always the number one question around the team. And for the Panthers, they love the position they're in with the netminding.
Well, Billy, just to add on that, what is the number one number two storylines for the Florida Panthers before they drop the puck as far as personnel moves need to, want to, before they start on October 13th to start the season?
Well, the contracts of trying to secure, you've talked about Mackenzie Weegar, and is he going to re-sign? There's the possibility that teams are kicking tires on Mackenzie Weegar, so that's a big one out there. And the extension of Jonathan Huberdeau that everyone's waiting on. Huberdeau has 1 year left on that deal, but they saw with Barkov that they want to get that. If there is an extension to be signed, they would rather have that in place sooner than later, probably before the season starts. So those two players, to me, what you want to do with them, if you want Weegar and Huberdeau in the fold, if you want those extensions done, get them done quicker. If something happens and the money doesn't quite fit, or something that you want to explore trade and Mackenzie Weegar, that's always a possibility. But those two players seem to be at the forefront for the Panthers and what's going to really shape their future. And you got one player on defense and one player up front that are two valuable assets that you either got to sign them to long-term deals, or you're going to have to figure out what you can get back for them.
And, Billy, on that, what are your comments, and how did you handle it when you're discussing it over the last day or so with your colleagues, and that about the situation in Chicago? Obviously, it's a rebuild, but things are a little uncomfortable there. The trades that they made of two young, very good young forwards, and then the status of Kane and Taves that are going into their last year. Overall, what are your thoughts on what the Chicago Blackhawks, who have been really under the microscope over the last 24, 48 hours?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising to me. I mean, DeBrincat goes and you send him off to Ottawa. He's a pure goal scorer and someone that had really good chemistry with Kane, was in that top six forward role, and Kirby Dach to Montreal. And Kirby Dach he's only 21 years old. A lot of people forget that. A big centerman, talented two-way centerman, and ship those guys off for draft picks and reload. So if you're sitting there and you're Kane and your Taves, do you want to go through a rebuild? You've won three Stanley Cup championships. You're on and near, but it looks like a full. There's no other way to look at Chicago other than it's a full teardown, and we're going to try and rebuild this. But Kane and Taves in their 30s, are you going to sit there and try and wait 4 or 5 years and wait for these draft picks that they're piling up to come back? So it's the big thing now, the focus really goes to Kane and Taves. If it's a full teardown and rebuild and they say they want out of there, that's their right, and that teams are going to be all over that. So it looks like to me it's surprising Chicago that they're going that direction, but that seems where they're headed.
Billy Lindsay, our guest here as we wind down our coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft. And you mentioned a lot of it there, and a lot of discussion for certain reasons has been about the Chicago Blackhawks. But anything, whether it's pertaining to the draft, a transaction, anything other than what the Blackhawks have done maybe that has really captured your attention here over these 2 days, whether it was Shane Wright dropping to number four, or the host team at the draft, the Montreal Canadiens, making a lot of news? Anything else that you thought really made some noise? Or Ottawa adding Alex DeBrincat, that was a big thing in referencing the Blackhawks, but from the other perspective, a big trade that was made that certainly impacts the Atlantic Division.
It does. Ottawa's one of those. There's pressure on them because that young core they built together has been there for a while, and they've shown spurts throughout the time that they can be successful. So adding DeBrincat, I feel there's some pressure on Ottawa to be successful, not finish and have all these high draft picks. And they're a team, maybe if you want to look at our division and what's happening, is you take a team like Ottawa, and the Boston's a team that's going to be missing two or three or four players with injuries for the first couple months of the season. So Ottawa is one of those teams that maybe has the ability to step into that position and find themselves in the chase to be in a playoff race in that Atlantic Division. So that's interesting to me in the draft and where you fall. If you look at a player like Shane Wright, he falls down to number four. It doesn't really matter. If you're a good player and you're going to be in the NHL, you look back at the draft and it's wherever you were drafted, it does, if you're good enough, you're going to make the money. That's just the way it is. And to me, Shane Wright going to Seattle, that's a perfect situation because they're a franchise that's just starting off, an expansion franchise. Going in, he got a chance to play immediately. And Montreal went a different direction. But all these kids, even if you get drafted, there's going to be guys in the fourth round, fifth round that are going to be stellar NHL players. The draft, just getting drafted is just the start of the journey. If you're good enough, you're going to make it. You're going to belong in the league. If you're a first-round pick, you're going to get a few more opportunities, maybe then if you were drafted later. But Mackenzie Weegar is drafted in the 200s. He's become one of the best defensemen in the NHL. So it's you never know how these young kids are going to play out down the future, and that's what's always intriguing to me to watch throughout the course of this draft. Teams scout these kids and have a pretty good idea of what's going on, but in a lot of ways, in 2-3 years, you're going to see some disappointments in the first rounds, and you're going to see some surprises in the later rounds. And with the Panthers drafting in the later rounds, that's where they have to do their due diligence and hope they hit on some of these kids.
Billy Lindsay, our guest here on our draft coverage. Billy, we're right up against the end of the show here, but I want to thank you very much for taking some time out for us here on our draft show, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Enjoy it. And, yeah, the draft's always – I think Moles is a first-rounder, and I was picked in the 100s, so – we both know both ends of the you get both ends of the spectrum with us, but Moles can tell you the draft is just one small stepping stone to the process.
Yeah, Billy, you overachieved, I underachieved, and we met somewhere in the middle.
Well, the Quebec Nordiques brought you both in, and for that we thank them.
Yeah, it took me 7 years to ruin that that franchise. Thanks, Billy. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much, Billy Lindsay, our longtime friend there joining us on the program. That about takes us to the end of the show. Quickly to recap, round three, the Panthers selected Marek Alscher, a defenseman. Round four, Ludvig Johnsson, a defenseman. Thanks to him for stopping on the show after he was selected. Great to talk to him right after his dream was achieved there. And Sandis Vilmanis, forward out of, again, from over in Sweden, chosen in the fifth round at pick number 157. Panthers have picks coming up here very shortly, but we're going to have to jump off the air here. Number 186, 189, and then the seventh round at number 221. So that's what's coming up for the Panthers. Big thanks, Panthers President CEO Matt Caldwell, for stopping by earlier in the show. You heard from Billy Lindsay. Thanks again to him for his time there a moment ago. Thanks to all of our guests from last night as well. Big thanks to Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Another job well done. We thank you very much, Dan. Every day is Dan Day over on the other side of the glass. And we thank you for being on board with us on our draft coverage once again. Randy Moeller, any parting words for all the folks out there?
We'll see you in October and drop the puck. And like I like to say, if I'm not dead by Friday night, I'll be roaring Saturday morning.
Well, we hope you all have a very good Friday night and a good Saturday morning as well. For Randy Moeller, for Dan Day, I'm Doug Plagans. This has been our coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
When I was 17, I was stealing cars and cheating on math tests.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.